Our next public hearing is Ordinance Amendment Chapter 115, Variances, Manufactured Homes.
This is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 27, Section 115-211, relating to variances. In synopsis, this ordinance clarifies that an adjoining property to a property that has received an approved variance in a manufactured home park shall not have to apply for a variance if the adjoining property replaces an accessory building or improvement with one of the same size, as long as setback requirements are met. And again, just for reference, if you're reading it, any text that is amended or added is underlined. And this is, we're going to amend Section 115, amend the code, Chapter 115, Article 27, 115-121 for variances by adding a new subsection with 211H, which is proposed to read, no variance shall be required in a manufactured home park when a property that is adjoining a property that has received an approved variance replaces an accessory building or improvement with an accessory building or improvement of the same size and on the same footprint, as long as setback requirements are met, period. And again, I received no additional comments from any individual.
All right, then. Yes, sir.
I've got a couple on this one.
Okay.
Just to throw out to the commission. The first one's just a typo. Section 1 refers to Section 115-121. That should actually be 115-211. The title of the ordinance is fine. It says 115-211 at the top, but just for the benefit of the folks here, that actually should have been 115-211 down in the first line of Section 1. In H, to make that consistent with what we just talked about, if that's the commission's intention, I think there should be reference to a previously permitted accessory building, just so that those two track the same. So that it would read, no variance shall be required in a manufactured home park when a property that is adjoining a property that has received and approved variances replaces a previously permitted accessory building or improvement with an accessory building or improvement. And it, again, just so that those are both the same with the one we just did. Okay. The other one, my comment on is, as I read it, it seems like perhaps the intention of it was that it doesn't require variances from building separation, because it still talks about as long as setback requirements are met. It seems like council ought to clarify what the intention of that ordinance was. Are you talking about just building separation, or, you know, or is it supposed to be that if you're replacing one with an existing one next to one where somebody else got a variance, it doesn't matter if you have building separation or you meet the setbacks? It just seems like if that's the case, you know, just as I read it, and I don't deal with mobile homes as regularly as some of the other county attorneys do, but it just led to confusion on my part what the intention was.
Well, that was the intent, and if it was revised to read as long as setback and separation requirements were met, that would satisfy it.
Yeah, but...
Well, yeah, setback's an issue because basically you're allowing... If it's shared with a foot from the property line and... The neighbor got a variance,
right?
And you wanted to replace that shed in the same exact spot, then would you be allowed to replace it? If not, it has no bearing on this at all.
Right, exactly.
It would basically one against the other. And the setback word is what throws it off, basically. I don't disagree. And I don't remember... we're talking about February, March, or April when we...
I mean, I guess it would work in a situation where you had somebody get a variance on their shed, and you have a shed that meets the setback requirements but doesn't meet the building separation. Then you wouldn't need a variance from their shed because of building separation, because you already meet the setback requirements.
Right.
I guess in the other situation, you'd have a shed that violates, a pre-existing shed that you got permitted that violates setbacks. Somebody else gets a variance. You don't need a variance from the building separation, but you still need to put your shed back in a place that now complies with the setback.
Yeah, then the setback and the separation, if that the real intent was to allow you as the person next to where a variance was granted to be able to replace in the same footprint what you already had of the same size at the same location.
That seems
even
like
even if it was an encroachment into a setback.
Right. I think what they're trying to do is say that, you know, me as a lot owner or lessee, I shouldn't be adversely affected by somebody else that got a variance. You know, that shouldn't then trigger me to have to go get my own variance for a shed that I already had. I think's what the intention is.
Well, the question that came up in the ad hoc committee meetings was that if someone got a variance, then a couple months down the road, the neighbor all of a sudden has to get a variance when they want to replace their unit.
Right.
Unless they replace it with the same exact size at the same location, and that would require an ordinance amendment.
Right.
So if I get a variance on my lot, you have a variance on yours if you're my neighbor?
Right now. If you got a variance today, and you made your improvements, and your neighbor comes in and wants to make some improvements, then he needs a variance. And all he's doing, let's say, is replacing what is already there. But he still needs a variance, because once you remove it, you got to start over. They have to conform or get a variance. Did you hear me? Confusing, huh? I will admit it's confusing.
I agree with you, Mr. Burton.
But seriously, if you have improvements on your lot and your neighbor gets a variance, what the ad hoc committee wanted was to be able to take and replace what you have existing in the same location without requiring you to go back and get a variance and pay $400 for something
because your neighbor
by somebody else.
Yeah.
Because your neighbor did it to you, right. Basically.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not that clear the way it's worded. You know, like.
No, right. I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Are you?
We don't disagree.
Are we proposing clarifying language or?
Well, let's see what the public has to say. I think it needs to be clarified.
Okay. I'll start over here this time, and then get the
clear as mud.
Okay. Well, we got.
Hey, I'm Patty Weil from Bay City. Now, one of the things that we talked about, the reason it came up in the ad hoc is I've got two examples. My lot. My shed is on my property. I bought the home with the shed. There's no permit.
Yeah.
So what happens if I replace my shed? I understood it, and I felt all these years that if I replace my shed like for like, in my heart of hearts, I cannot expect other people to stick to the code and me not stick to the code when replacing my shed. So are you saying that if I replace my shed the way it stands right now, like for like, I have to bring it into code?
Where's your shed located, you know, in that hypothetical? Is it within the setbacks? I mean, are you violating setbacks?
Are you saying 5 feet setbacks or 10 feet setbacks?
In Bay City, 5 foot.
Yeah.
5 foot? I would say 3.5 feet.
Yeah. Well, the way this is worded, Lawrence, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in that situation, because it says as long as setback requirements are met, if you replaced your shed and did meet the setbacks, you'd have to come in for a variance.
Okay, that's what I understood over the years.
Yeah.
That's what I have fought for, is that you have to be consistent. If I'm doing that with my home,
right,
then I should have to do that with my shed. Now let's talk about...
Because you didn't have a permit.
Because I didn't have a permit. Because, like many
said,
of us were told...
But you said you didn't have a permit.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, we understand.
Now, this is the other scenario. My neighbor has a metal shed right up against the property line. So if the neighbor replaces that like for like, that neighbor has to meet setbacks, correct?
Did he have a permit?
I don't know that.
Shouldn't have.
Let's use a scenario where he had a permit.
And he placed it wrong, for one. But Bay City has been established to be nonconforming in all its improvements, except for certain lots.
Certain lots. So does that mean that shed can go back where it's at?
If this ordinance is to be adopted, his shed could be placed...
That's one of the lots that...
Where it exists now.
While we're in appeal.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But that shed goes right where it's at. How does that affect me?
If this ordinance is adopted.
Correct. How does that affect me when I want to put in my double wide next year?
Then you have to be 20 feet from the shed.
So
different than what
I'm being penalized
Well, but his shed was there before your new double wide was. Before you bought that double wide, you knew what the requirements, or should have known what the requirements were. So that's a burden that you accepted subsequent to the location of the shed next door. You know, it's the same old story, whoever gets there first. You know, you have to be 150 feet away from your neighbor's well. Well, if his well was there before your septic system, well, you have to be 150 feet away from it. He doesn't have to move as well.
If he's got the permit.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. That's what I wanted to clarify.
Well, the difficulty with that, if you're saying his lot's 1 foot from the property line, then he didn't comply with his permit because it's never been a 1 foot setback. But the problem with Bay City is that they've established by surveys that it's a non-conforming park, and the council accepted the fact that it's a park with non-conforming improvements, and we use a survey and site plan that's been now approved.
Yeah, but appealed.
It's under appeal, right.
So, just a thought. I think that all sheds should be considered regardless of the size because it's important in Sussex County and manufactured home parks. Sheds are important, so regardless of whether they're 200 feet or less than 200 feet, they need to be included.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
You're saying they should conform to setbacks.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's hear from somebody new that hadn't had a chance to come up. Somebody over here is waving a hand. You.
And I believe.
I'll get to you. Don't worry.
My name is Ron Amati. I'm the president of the Homeowners Association of Bay City. And I believe you answered my question, Mr. Lang, but just to verify, and we're talking about lots, and you're talking about setbacks and so forth. And the 5 foot setbacks was for sheds.
5 foot in Bay City.
Yes.
Just use Bay City example. The lot, any improvements is 5 foot.
Okay.
But then you have separation requirements between improvements on your neighboring lot.
Separation requirement 20 foot.
20 foot. Right now.
So right now, if my neighbor here on the left hand side is 5 foot from the property line, then my improvement must be 15 foot from my property line.
Right now.
Okay.
Under current code.
The neighbor on my right is 5 foot from the property line. My improvement must be 15 foot from my property line to get that 20 foot.
It makes some really small buildable areas because of the separation requirement.
Okay.
Right. And we've seen a situation where you had a couple of vacant lots, and a person would come in and make his improvements as close to the one side because that lot was vacant. An improvement on the third lot would move his to the left side, so he would take advantage of his buildable space, and then the guy in the middle gets stuck with not much buildable area. And we've seen that happen a few times.
So right now in Bay City, the poor person right dead in the middle of two lots that have a double wide on the right, left, and a double wide on the right, basically has to put almost a single wide back on their lot.
And without a variance, yes, that's right.
I mean,
but we're not talking
technically
about, we're not proposing to amend the 20-foot space in between improvements from lot to lot.
Okay.
The only thing we were addressing earlier was that it could be 10-foot spacing shed to shed, but you're still required 20 from the shed to the other improvements.
So
unit, the porch, the sunroom, or whatever.
As you said, the first one there is the lucky person.
Better believe it.
Sometimes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And there's really not much of a way around that,
sir.
You know? Okay, yes, sir, in the white shirt and the hat.
I am Neil Dickerson from Potnets Creekside. And we're fortunate enough, we have the larger lots there. And my question is to replace exactly what you're previously had, because you don't have to worry about any lines or anything because you got plenty of room. Is there a need to get a permit for that if you're replacing exactly what was there?
The regulation requires you to get a permit.
You gotta get a permit, yeah.
Even for just replacement?
Because it's new construction, yeah.
Gotcha. Once you remove, you're supposed to bring it into conformity. So by removing something and then bringing in something new in its place, then what's in its place is supposed to conform to the regs.
Okay.
What we're proposing on that one section, because accessory buildable sheds, is that when a variance is granted, then you can would still be allowed to conform as long as you're replacing the same exact footprint of what was there before.
Well, I wouldn't need to worry about the variance, though, on a situation.
No, just saying, but that's, permit, right? That's the only thing we're proposing on that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, sir. Okay, now it's your turn. Come on up, you. Are you done? Yeah, come on. You're fine. How do they do this in Newcastle County?
Well, actually, the chambers isn't near this nice. You have much nicer chambers.
Just can't have a higher ceiling.
Just can't hear. Acoustics must be terrible.
It's not this nice.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, my name is Susan Lashy again, and I just want to ask another question.
Sure.
We throw the word variance around.
We do.
And we give them out like Halloween candy. So if we have a code...
Not this code.
And we constantly just file for a variance against the code,
yeah.
Then why have the code? And I believe it's 115-211A is the variance, and it says that they should be, I may not be right with that, for extreme circumstances, for unusual, not for financial...
I mean, there's a whole body of law.
Caprice,
that's
yeah. And it pretty much tells you don't use this unless it's for hardship, really, really extraordinary circumstances. But yet we don't do that. And so I was thinking about Mr. Lang saying about the 35%.
I'm going to stop you right there. When you say we, who are you talking about?
That's
talking about the
Board of
Board
Adjustment.
Of Adjustments?
That's a separate.
It's okay. A separate.
Okay.
A separate.
All right. I guess I.
We don't do variances.
Okay.
Here.
I stand corrected on that. The county.
Right.
And then, you know, Mr. Lang spoke about the 35%, and I'm just, you know, I'm going through the visual of these homes. They're all over 35% on the non-conforming lot. So if it's 5,000 square feet, or it's less, let's say, and it's the non-conforming lot or whatever, it still is over the 35%. But I have a feeling they got away with doing that because they got a variance. And I guess my question is, how do we get so many variances? And then it says in one part of the code that if it's so typical that the code should be changed, is basically what it's telling you, that if you have an exuberant amount of variances, then the code itself should be changed. So I guess maybe that's not your department about the variances, and I'm asking the wrong.
Well, I appreciate your question, and I just wanted to clarify that that is handled by a different group. We really can't answer for them. I can't tell you why they do what they do. I can't tell you why they grant.
And why are we having any work done, variance, surveys, whatever, on property we don't own? That's the responsibility of the park operator per the code. And then the state code, it says that it'll offer a lot with, you know, clearly defined lines, blah, blah, blah. So we shouldn't need any of these things, surveys, variances, or anything.
Well, I think you do. You wouldn't, it would, well, with regard to the structure, that's what this has to do with. And the survey is required to determine whether the structure fits within that lot. And the variance has to do with the structure, not the lot lines that would be, for example, that would be more the park owner's responsibility. So I think there's a distinction there. You're right about some issues, that is with the park, but certain ones regarding, you know, if individual tenant wants to go place a shed or a home on a lot, it's their responsibility to go get the building permit to do that.
But I mean, the survey business that you're talking about and the variance business, if everything's clearly defined, then all we do is X amount of feet off of the line.
Well, but you need the survey to determine that you're X amount of feet off the line. That's the basis.
And you have to keep getting them over and over? I mean, every time, isn't there a registered survey?
Yes, there would be a survey. The park owner has to establish the lot lines.
Right.
So once, that's the plot, the big survey.
That's the plot. Once that's done, and you are situated on a plot, you are then responsible for whatever you put on that plot, conforming to whatever the setbacks are that apply to that particular lot or plot.
Okay.
Okay. That's
laughing because he was lot or plot. He's kind of
right.
Well, again, you know, not to keep finding fault, I think the way it is written currently is really, really kind of Dr. Erwin Corey-ish. Of course, nobody remembers who he is because I'm probably too old, but it's not very clear in its definition. I think it was hard to understand, and I think it could be made a lot easier by saying X amount of square feet, you know, X amount of feet off of the line, and that's it.
I empathize with what you're saying. And we have been trying to make this simpler for what, 3 or 4 years this has been going on? The fact is, it isn't simple. So it doesn't have a simple answer, and it's not going to have a simple answer.
Well, and I don't mean to appear argumentative, but my example of what they do in Newcastle County, which is a pretty big county, and it worked there, you know, all kidding aside, I was wondering what was the problem that we had with using what seems to be the simple code that they have. I mean, I really didn't.
Because
you know,
when
we
you
did
apply the simple code that they have,
yes,
to the complicated situations that we have here, it doesn't work. That's why we have to develop something that is for Sussex County's situation, okay?
I don't understand. X amount of feet off the line and X amount of feet shed size, how does that apply differently here?
Well, it's beyond the scope of this hearing for us for me to be able to explain all this to you.
Okay.
If you would like to get a thorough explanation for that, I'm sure it can be had. Make sure you have 3 or 4 hours to, and I'm serious. If you want to know the whole history of this whole thing, it would take all day to explain to you how we got here, okay? I would just ask that you would trust that we're not complete idiots and that
I don't think that's what I was saying. I was just trying to make it simple for
you. Know, and that we've, you know, we have considered these things. We are trying to make this a simpler process. There's just not a good way to do it. And I know you don't think we're idiots.
Well, no. And I was wondering if you could submit to me what experts you had used to ascertain the conclusions he came to, because I kind of kept waiting during the ad hoc, you know, when are the engineers, when are the flood people, the impervious soil people, the, you know, DENREC, and I kind of didn't see anybody weigh in.
Most of these, the issues, and then we'll close this, the folks that you just mentioned are not the folks who deal with these questions. These are questions of geometry, questions of distance. It doesn't have anything to do with the geotechnical conditions that exist. It's simply, we're simply trying to establish building standards, okay? So you may not have all those folks involved. And I'm sure that along the way, the county engineer was involved. He's a registered professional engineer. I'm sure there may have been other folks, of a professional nature. I would also suggest to you that many of the folks who participated, in the ad hoc process are certainly capable of making these determinations. It's not, isn't exactly rocket science, but.
I kind of thought some of these things were because we, first you're saying Newcastle County doesn't apply because we have such extreme circumstances here, but you really didn't say what, and then.
Well, can I ask you a question? Challenge you on this, but
okay,
can't imagine that Newcastle. So the problem is we've got an existing code,
right,
where there were parks that predated the existing code, so they were plotted out before.
See, and that was the first problem. I didn't know that the parks were grandfathered forever. I thought the home was grandfathered, not the park.
There's parks that predated zoning, hold on. My point is that to get back to whether there's a simple resolution, there were parks that predated zoning. There were parks that were developed according to the zoning code that existed at the time they were developed. There were lot owners.
There wasn't a zoning code at that time.
There's been a zoning code since 1972, and there's parks that have been developed since 1972.
Well, and see, that's okay.
How about 1968?
And the 35% was always in there, and we're not adhering to that, but go ahead.
Well, ma'am.
But my point is, I can't imagine that Newcastle County and maybe it's true, and they somehow pulled it off, but that with all the different types of parks that they may have had, that they just superimposed a set of zoning ordinances that worked for everybody. I mean, that's what we're dealing with.
In reference to the shed now, I was referring to just the shed. That was what I was referring to.
Or maybe I misunderstood enough, because I thought you were trying to say that.
No. I'm sorry I misrepresented myself. I meant just where a shed was, X amount of feet off and X amount of square footage, whatever you would decide. But thank you for your time.
How about the 35%?
I'm sorry.
You were talking setbacks and location. I didn't know if you were saying forget the 35%.
No, I was not saying that. I was saying it when you had mentioned the 35% that I don't believe that is actually being adhered to. When you said you can have a less than 5,000 square foot lot, but you still have to be to occupy no more than 35%. I beg to disagree that I think that's not happening, I guess is what I was saying.
Regardless of
it's happening more than you think,
regardless of
it's
whether
it's happening that it's 35% or
whether it's happening or it's not happening, it's the ordinance. And there's plenty of legal precedence that establishes that just because a law, any law, was not enforced in one instance does not mean that it should not be enforced in another. It's certainly possible that something got by someone, they didn't check it, they put the home in without a permit. Could be any number of reasons. But the 35% is the rule, and it's going to be enforced at any time that we know about it.
Wouldn't the double check at that point, the checks and balances, be when they got their occupancy certificate? Wouldn't that inspection, in fact, wouldn't that be one of the things you would check for the occupancy certificate?
It would be, yeah, but,
you know,
but they may not have been doing that 30 years ago.
I mean, even recently.
Supposed to be.
Okay, so that would be one of the criteria.
Field, but it's supposed to be checked.
Right, it is supposed to be checked.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, sir.
John Morris from Camelot. There's been a lot of discussion today. I have one question because it was put to a couple of people. Well, didn't you know that when you were coming in? And it filtered out today on multiple things. I have one question. Is it or was it at one time that anybody setting a home on a lot had to have a certificate from the state of Delaware, and it was going to be left in the electrical panel area where the underwriter for the electrical also puts his sticker? Because I've seen them.
Well, it may not be a county regulation, though. Maybe state, maybe somebody else that makes them do it.
Yeah, plumbing code requirements and electrical requirements that are handled through independent.
Yeah, that's
county.
Yeah.
And then the county now requires stickers for, we have to do inspections for tie down, foundations, everything.
Now?
Yeah.
My staff just was certified in the last 2 years to the state law, because the new law passed about 2 years ago. They required the inspector to be certified as for manufactured home inspection.
Right, for even the,
tie down,
whether
foundation.
It has to be piled, driven, or whether it can be cinder block set. I was always under the impression that put the problems of it being set wrong on the individual who was licensed by the state of Delaware to set that house. So if something in code, regardless if it was put in by park managers, if it was proven that it was a problem, that individual who was issued, and they are numbered, was the person who did not come to you or anybody else in the state or in a county and get approval for a certain mobile home to be put in. And now, of course, as you're stating, there's been new regulations added to that, especially with pile drivings and foundations. But it seems to me like a lot is being put back on individuals. I have a background in it, but most of these people don't. They're going into a park, and there's a house and a shed already there. Well, the shed's got a hole in it. They were told that when it was bought. They want to put another new shed in. And all of a sudden, it's going to cost them $400 just to get a survey and a thing. Double wide houses being put on, and that just came up in this last on a lot. Now the guy next door, he's been planning to put a porch and a deck on the side of his house for years, and he finally gets around to it, and he's pinned in because the new double wide is cutting in on the variance on the size of the lot. And I think that stuff where that double wide went in should have been addressed before the piece of the property received that double wide. Was it going to cause the next door neighbor down the road, or as we spoke before, the guy in the middle ending up getting screwed. I think that there's some responsibility, because the park managers will do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. And if you live in one, like I guess most of these people, you'll know that's the truth. They got a responsibility to their corporation, and that's what it is.
I think the problem you're describing has been going on probably for centuries anywhere where people live closely together. And at the end of the day, it always seems to come back to whoever got there first. Because in either case, somebody's rights are being lessened. Okay? Should yours be lessened because the guy next to you might put a double wide there? I don't think so. If he puts one there and then you have to deal with it, or you put yours there and he has to deal with it. When these lots are sold, you know, and I know how can you expect people to know? Unfortunately, that's the law of the land. Ignorance is no excuse. You're supposed to know. You're supposed to ask. And I know it's hard. Nobody can know what all the rules are. That's part of the risk we take when we buy property. And we can't protect people from everything.
Well,
you know.
In my life,
or I've renting, been, whatever you're doing. Yeah.
Right. In my lifetime, I've carried many licenses.
Right.
And was always responsible for if I was going to put a hospital or a Wawa in.
Right.
To know what I was doing and what was going on that property. And I'm just saying that if there is a form, if there is qualifications now that people have to place homes, mm-hmm. I think the burden should be on that they are compliant with what the rules are before that house goes in there. And if they have to tell a park manager, it won't fit.
You can probably delegate or contract for that responsibility. But if you are either the owner, the beneficial owner, or the lessee of a piece of property, you have control of it. You're responsible. If that home gets put on there wrong, they're going to come and see you. That's just the way it is. When you, I don't know if you were a building contractor or whatever it was you were in another life, but if you put a building in the wrong place, okay, mm-hmm. The jurisdiction doesn't come after you. They come after the property owner. The property owner comes after you.
Exactly.
It's okay, because it's the property owner or lessee, if the case may be. If it's a ground lease, that responsibility may pass to the person who's leasing the ground, because you have control over what happens there.
Well, in a roundabout, what I'm getting at also is, I believe Camelot was put in around 76, 77. Mr. Bunning has told me that he was in the parade that opened the park, and that it was considered the future of Delaware, that type of housing in the park. And it is a beautiful park, mm-hmm. and I get through a lot of other parks. But if the sheds and the trees have been there since that park has been built, I don't see how we can tell a homeowner now that wants to change it that they have to go through all this rigmarole to put the same thing down in the same footprint.
That's been the case for decades in all types of building code and the zoning code issues. When you change it, you bring it into conformity. If there have been exceptions made along the way by park owners and so on, it's been done outside of any regulations that anybody has.
Well, I know if a shed's ripped down, I should be able to put a shed in. If I'm adding electric to it, mm-hmm. then I think, yeah, I have to have it inspected. I don't have a problem with that. And obviously, maybe somebody might want to run water if it's a big enough shed for a sink or in a garage type of an atmosphere, and that should require it. But I think what most of the people here are talking about, they're just pulling their lawnmower in and out and a few other things. And I just don't see that they have to spend all the money that they're being asked. It hasn't happened to me, but I have seen it numerous times. That's all. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name's Annette Perry, and I'm from Potnats Homeowners Association. I'm the vice president of Lakeside, Bayside, and Creekside.
Okay.
Just a point of reference, I have gained an awful lot of education tonight, and I appreciate that very much. This is my first visit to county council.
And it was all free, too.
I know. I didn't have to pay a dime to get in here. And I am from Newcastle County previously. I moved down here 6 years ago, and in the back of Lakeside, I opened up that whole new section back there. My home was the first one to go in. And when my double wide was being put down, we were measuring this, measuring that. And the lady from the marketing office, she said, "Let me tell you how we measure in Newcastle County." And she took her heel and she dug it in the dirt. Sussex County. Dug her heel in, pulled it back, stepped back, dug it in again, pulled it back. She said, "That's how we measure in Sussex County."
Who does she work for?
Tunnel. Mr. Tunnel.
For Mr. Tunnel?
Mr. Tunnel. Mm-hmm. My property markers never went in for 2 years. All I had was a piece of paper giving me measurements. Mm-hmm. Wasn't until the next home went in next to me that all of a sudden they're out there hammering this piece of concrete in the ground, going, "I had one in the back. This one was put out front." I ended up with a few more feet than I have on paper, which I'm not going to open my mouth. I'm not going to tell him. I'm real happy about that.
It may be too late because we're on the internet.
I was going to say, you've already told him.
I'll
have that surveyor out there tomorrow new line.
Cut those 3 feet off.
But I never knew about variances and setbacks. So you've opened my eyes a great deal, and I want to thank you for the job. You do a great job. And whatever you can do to help the manufacturer homeowners is really certainly appreciated.
Righty.
I thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
Whose mother is that? I should say sister. I'm not that old.
No, I agree with you, ma'am. I think you should take great offense at that.
I'm so great.
Now,
his sister.
Good.
Roberta Hemrick again. I hope this is the last time this evening, but I can't promise. Depends on what you guys come up with next.
And we're just making it up as we go along.
The purpose of the ad hoc committee was to help to clarify the code and make it more understandable. With regard to this particular ordinance that we were just talking about before we got totally off base, that you said was not clear, it's not clear. It needs to be redone to make it clear. I just wanted that to go on record because it is very confusing. As to the conforming and non-conforming parks, there's something I totally don't understand. I was also under the misconception that if a park could be brought into compliance, it should be brought into compliance. But Mr. Lank said that's not true with the older parks. Am I right there?
Right.
Okay.
They have established plots and lots.
Well, then explain to me why we ever allowed double wides to be put on these small lots. Okay? If they're non-conforming, if you look at pictures in Sierre from years ago, it was a beautiful park. It had all single wides, had all smaller homes. Now, it's a nightmare. Why was that permitted? And what can we do about it?
There's nothing in the code that says you can't place a double wide in a mobile home park.
It's a matter you have to meet setback requirements and the separation requirements and the 35% lot coverage.
Okay, but if you go in there now, and you've been in there often enough, okay, so many of these...
I've been in there since before I even got the job.
I know that. I know that. But the double wides have gone in, and then they've added decks, and they've added other porches, and they've added additions, and so many of them, their steps are right into the street. I mean, if somebody drives along at night, they're going to run right up on their front deck.
The setbacks in Sierra and any of the nonconforming parts based on a list that we have that's maintained is 5 foot. It is not 10. In the new parks, it's required to be 10.
Right. I understand that.
5 foot's been required since 1971. Maybe even 68, I have to go back and look, but at least 71 in mobile home parks.
No.
The setback's not changed in the non-conforming parks.
It just doesn't seem right because, again, here was a park that was a really lovely park years ago, and it's a disaster now.
Well, in Sierra, when it originally started, they were all single wides.
Mm-hmm.
There were patios, and there were some enclosures, like enclosed porches,
Right. Screened
mostly,
right,
and a few decks, that's all, and a few sheds. There wasn't many sheds originally. Yep.
That's all.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Who's next?
The gentleman in the back, Mr. Wheatley.
Oh, on the way. Okay. I'm sorry. Come on up. Yeah.
Mark Meisner again. Maybe Lawrence and Vince. That's okay. Variance, quick and concise and to the point. I go in and get a variance. I establish a new setback. That's what I'm doing.
For that particular lot.
And any buildings that are affected by the variance that I'm getting. For example, I put a shed in. Instead of having 20 feet from a house, I got 13 feet from a house. That house wants to replace with another house. The new house going in on that next lot can still be at 13 feet because there's a variance on that shed that created that new setback.
That's what we're considering.
Okay. But right now, that's not the case.
Right now, it's not the case. If you remove it, it has to. Then the new improvements have to conform.
Okay.
It require the 20-foot spacing.
Okay. Good. And just, I can say that managers do care. I sit with each one of my residents that want to do an improvement. We stretch the tape for them so they never run into a situation where they have to go after a variance after the fact. Thanks.
Oh, questions for the speaker?
Sure. Do you mind coming on back?
Do you dig your heel in and drag it back? Or?
No, I have a tape measure.
Okay, really? Thank you.
Yeah.
Sussex County tape measure or Newcastle?
I even have one right here that's 6 feet so I can get all my 5 foots.
There you go.
I carry one. You got to have one.
Guys, yes, ma'am. Come on up here. Ma'am, if you want to speak, I'm going to ask you to come up front and give us your name, okay? But no shouting out. But you're welcome to come up because you've shouted out to me 3 or 4 times. So you've clearly got something on your mind, so you can be next. Go ahead.
I'm Elaine Campbell again from Bay City. I've heard all evening so much about we, the home renters, leaseholders, land renters, whatever you want to call us that live in manufactured housing, what we have to do in that. I guess I'm still struggling with how this all came about. What has been done legally to the landowners to keep them from creating some of these problems? I'm still not getting a feel of what guidelines they have had to follow. I've heard all evening what guidelines we have to follow because we do stupidity, not knowing, not realizing, because it's been a learning experience for us. When I bought my home, I knew nothing about this, nothing at all. I've learned in the past 8 years that I've lived here. What on the flip side can you just share with us to know that the landowners are being held to, I'm going to say to task, the same as we're being held
to
task
standard,
to abide
sure.
by the law. What is being done to help us know that they're also being called to conform to what is correct?
That does go a little outside the scope of what we're covering here on the public hearing. I think the lady deserves an answer, but I think we need to keep it back to the relevancy of what the purpose of this public hearing was.
I'll give her a short answer.
Okay, we're going to let Mr. Lang.
Short answer is they have the same regulations to conform to that you do.
And if they don't?
Their responsibility in some cases to you as to how they maintain streets, open space, et cetera.
And what do we do? What rights do we have to make them do what they're supposed to do?
You have the right to hire an attorney. That's about all I can say.
To hire an attorney.
I don't know what else to say on that one.
Right. Well, you know, if it's an ordinance change like these, you know, mm-hmm. you have the ability to try to get ordinances changed, you know, certainly no way to. And there's, depending on the situation, there's any different
avenues. You can also lodge a complaint with the Planning and Zoning Department. I mean, they'll send somebody out to look.
Right, inspector. You know.
We've violated some of the park owners.
Yeah.
We have what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear
you. We have violated some of the park owners for issues that they've created also.
Okay. In Bay City particular, I'm thinking.
In Bay City particularly. Yes,
ma'am. So what would your recommendation be to us people that live in Bay City?
That one does go a little bit outside the scope. I don't think we should give recommendations.
Well, let's say any park resident. I mean, other than what you just said, that would be about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
It really gets down.
Unfortunately, we're not supposed to make recommendations or give what amounts to legal advice. And I'm surprised our attorney let me talk as long as he did. Yes, ma'am.
So much of it depends on the issue. You know, there's no way to predict that.
I didn't mean DL.
Oh, don't worry about it. Who are you?
I thought that you could. No, never mind. Eleanor L., Vice President of Camelot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After sitting here many, many times and being involved with Delaware Manufactured Homeowners Association and listening to the issue of the shed and all the problems, don't you think that the county should make a brochure and have it with all the rules and regs when people come in to purchase one of these mobiles? In these parks and have it, I mean, there should be something where, you know, basically we're all rule players or we wouldn't be here tonight.
We did at one time have a brochure. It was just a fold out. It was probably 2 pages, but the way it was printed lengthwise so you could fold it up and get basically 6 folds, but uh-huh. or 3 folds, it looked like 6 sections, and one related to permits for manufactured homes and one related to building permits.
Yeah, they should
But I have to scratch that out again because I haven't seen one personally for a while, but we did have those.
Yeah, because they should be in these management offices when people go to purchase so they know exactly what the rules and regs are down here in Sussex County. Just a thought.
Well, the first step would be if we're going to adopt these ordinances to get those in and then put it in. And it'd be something to consider putting on the county's website, too.
There's too much confusion.
Mm. Yeah, just general information brochure.
And then maybe the management companies would apply exactly what they read in the brochures as well. I mean, it would be clearer coming from the county that these are. So then because they change management every 6 months. So there's always confusion there, too. So they'll agree with anything just to get that new single or double wide in there because they want the lot rent. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, anybody else? Going once. Are you sure? You're welcome. You're welcome. It's been fun. Yes, sir. You got your hand up or are you just... You're just deep in thought, okay? All right.
He's measuring.
Anybody? anyone else? Okay, then. Anybody on the commission have any questions? All right, then. Well, being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Gentlemen, that